Paul told Timothy, study to show thyself approved in God, workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I used that scripture this morning so that on the lesson I teach, that I might rightly divide the word of truth.
Generally, when I study with somebody that's not a member of the church, the first thing that I study with them is the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I think that's very essential in understanding the Word of God, to rightly divide the Word of God. Just briefly, the Old Testament was fulfilled. It ceased when Jesus Christ came. We're to study it today for admonition and learning. And we know that things that God taught under the Old Testament, His laws and so forth, and how God kept His word, all that is strengthened to us. And so for that reason, we do. What I want to talk about this morning is whether there's an exception or no exception about marriage. The reason I want to talk about that is because it's getting blown out of proportion. People are taking it too far, some not taking it far enough, and so forth. This morning, I want you, regardless of your condition now, for the present time, just forget the past and think about from now on. Especially, I'm interested in those that are not married, as well as those that are married, but especially those that are not married. I want to teach you concerning what God has taught on this and so forth. We find that in the beginning that God created man. He created man of the dust of the ground. And of course then after that, it was not good for that man to be alone. God saw that. God knew. He knows all things. Therefore, He caused deep sleep come upon this man. And while he slept, he took a rib and he made the woman. You know, I think it's quite interesting when that woman was brought unto Adam, that without a revelation from God, he discovers in the woman, bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. That was without a revelation from God. He discovered that when he saw that woman. And I think that that's really something. This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. You know, that's an expression of the joyous astonishment at the suitable helpmeet. He had seen all the animals that had come by, gave names to all of them, not one suitable for him. And isn't it amazing that when he saw the woman, immediately he realized that, and he was very satisfied there. So we find that that was the will of God. Now, since that time, it's been God's will that man and woman be joined together. They be one, bone of bones and flesh of flesh. That's always been God's design. Now, we find that marriage is honorable in all. In Hebrews 13 and 4, Paul said marriage is honorable and bed undefiled. So we know that marriage is something that's honorable. There have been those that over the years, they've discouraged the different ones in their faith from being married. They had to be single and so forth. And today it's really coming out to what that caused. That was not God's plan. God's plan was man and woman. Now, it's not wrong for a woman to live singular entire life, nor a man. It's not wrong. But at the same time, it's not wrong that they marry. So this is honorable. So he says, let marriage be held in honor among all. And we want to realize that marriage is something that's really an honor to God. And the bed is undefiled. In other words, every man is to have his own wife, and every wife is to have her own husband. Now, another point about marriage, as I make these introductory remarks, was to avoid fornication. That's one of the purposes. That's not the only purpose. Don't get that wrong. But that is one of the purposes of marriage, is to avoid that of fornication. That's found in 1 Corinthians 7, 1 and 2. I might notice that just briefly here before I pass on to what Paul says here now. He said, now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for man not to touch a woman. And then he said, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Now, the reason he said it's not good, or rather here, it's good for man not to touch a woman, he was saying that because of the things that go on. But he said, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife. Now, during that time reading, he said that, that was a time of strife, as you find in verse 26 of this chapter. When he pointed out there, he pointed out and said, I suppose, therefore, that it's good for the present distress. I say that it's good for man to be so. In other words, because of the present distress, it was good that he might be that way. Well, you know, there's been times that it was good for man if he might remain single. I know when World War II began, a lot of couples married, and we married in World War II, but we understood and was doing it for the right purpose and everything. But a lot of people married, and then the man went off to war, and one of the two was unfaithful to the other. It finally ended up in broken homes. That would have been better if they're not under that present distress. So he's not saying this wrong to marriage, married, but under this present distress. Now we come to the point we want to discuss this morning. And if you have your Bibles, like turn to Matthew, the 5th chapter. I'll read a couple of verses there, and then I'll read the 19th chapter, and then we'll discuss this. Now, in verse 31 of Matthew 5, notice what Jesus said. It had been said, whosoever should put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever should put away his wife, saving because of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. Now let's turn to Matthew 19th chapter, and then we'll be focusing on this somewhat throughout the lesson. Now in Matthew the 19th chapter, let's read a few verses there, and we'll get the context as to what Jesus says. Now in verse 3 of Matthew 19, the Pharisees also came to him, tempting him. Now notice they come for purpose here, tempting Christ, and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Now what they're quoting here is what they believe the Old Testament taught. Is it all right for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said to them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Now we've already studied that, already noticed that. He made the man and he made the woman. Then he said, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall twain be one flesh. Now it points out what the result was when that very first couple was created here. Now it took a miracle to create a man. It took a miracle to create a woman. But after that, it was a law of reproduction. That is, it was no longer, never again would a man be created from dust of the ground, and never again would a woman be taken from man. And therefore, bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. And he said, they shall be one flesh. Wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Now, man is not under his own will, not under his own dictates, under his own teaching, to put that asunder. That would only be God that would give any reason for that. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a right divorcement and to put her away? Now, Moses did. He gave them order that they give them a writing divorcement and put them away. He saith to them, Moses, because of hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except be fornication, shall marry another, committeth adultery, and whoso marrieth her, which is put away, doth commit adultery. Now our point is, we have here what Jesus is teaching. And Jesus here in this two scriptures, he's giving here one exception, and that is fornication. In other words, if a man puts away his wife for any other cause except fornication, this man commits adultery. Either one of them remarry. And also, he's pointing out now that marriage is for life. Now, here's the point I want to bring out, and here's where the contention is over this teaching. Now, does these two scriptures, do they apply to the Old Testament or do they apply to the New Testament? Do they apply to the old law or the new law? Is Jesus telling what the old law said, or is he telling what the new law said? Well, we're going to study that for a short while this morning. Now, follow me closely right here. And this is very important. This is very important. This either applies to one or the other. It cannot be in between or cannot be both. It cannot be a law in between. And here's the reason it cannot. Turn to Matthew, the 5th chapter, in the same book, 5th chapter, and verses 17 and 18. Notice what Jesus says here now. Matthew 5, 17 and 18. Think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. I've come to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, get it now, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from law till all be fulfilled. Now here's the point. When Jesus died, when this law ended, it was fulfilled completely. Not one thing under that law stayed in force, the whole law. And it was not taken away in piecemeal fashion, a part now, a part later, and so forth. We had a discussion of this at Irving while we were studying on the New Testament, and a brother was teaching on this, and another brother got up, and he said he'd come up with a new idea. He didn't believe in the exception, and he said Matthew's book was different than others, and these Jews under Matthew's book, they were still here under this, but when it was all done, and after a while, that just finally passed away. Well, that just does away with Matthew 5, 17, 18, and I pointed that out to him. He never did argue that point anymore, but what I'm saying is rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, what he says now, that it'll all pass away. Now, here's what it is. When Jesus Christ come, he died on the cross. He said it's finished. He nailed it to the cross. Now, he was buried. He resurrected. He dwelt here. He ascended back to heaven. And then on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit come back, come to earth, so to speak, come to the apostles, gave them the word, gave them that word. And they began to preach. And from that time, the new law was effective. That's when it became effective. Now, come 2 years now, and 2 years ago in November, George Bush run against Al Gore. In November, George Bush was elected president, and he was president. But he didn't take office, and his presidency didn't become effective to what, January 20th, somewhere along there. And when he took office, then he was the president. But up to that time, he wasn't. So there was a period there from the time that it was nailed to the cross that Jesus gave the new law. And that's when that new law became effective. And so it wasn't effective until that time. Now, in doing this, Christ here teaches that the smallest part of the law, notice what he said there, one jot, one tittle, very small part, would not pass away. He pointed that out. Could not pass away. Unto all passed away when he died on the cross. Jesus was here emphasizing the utter impossibility of one part passing away and the rest remain. Now, in Deuteronomy 24, if you have a Testament or Old Testament, like to turn there. If not, I'm going to read it to you. And notice now what Moses said in Deuteronomy, the 24th chapter, and beginning with verse 1. Notice now, follow this closely. Now, I've read Matthew and know what it said. Now, let's notice what this says. When a man hath taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes. She find no favor in his eyes. Because he hath found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house. And when she is departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. She may go and be another man's wife. And if the latter husband hate her, and write her a bill of divorcement, and give it in her hand, and send her out of his house, or if the latter husband die, which took her to be his wife, her former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife after that she is defiled. For that is abomination before the Lord, and thou shalt not cause the land to sin, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. Now let's know some comparisons of what it teaches here. Now in Deuteronomy 24 and verse 1, permitted divorce for causes other than fornication. In other words, if he found some uncleanness. Now it's not fornication altogether. Now it might be included, but it's not altogether. But because there's other things there, and we'll point that out just a little further. Now, Matthew 5, 32, 19, 9 did not. Just one cause. That's one of the differences. Second, Deuteronomy 24 specifically states the divorced wife for these other causes may go and be another man's wife. Says she may go and be another man's wife. Matthew 5, 32, 19, 9 shows a woman divorced for other causes is made to commit adultery. She commits adultery. But this one may go and be another man's wife, implying remarriage on her part. One law said she may, and the other said it's adultery. Let's notice something else about these verses now. Now, in Deuteronomy 24, it permitted another man to marry her that was divorced for trivial causes. In other words, another man could marry her, and even provided for the second husband's writing her a bill of divorcement. He could write her a bill of divorcement. This implying the legality of the marriage in God's sight, if he hated her. Now, Jesus said, whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. Now notice this. Under the old law, I'll take my wife. If I put her away and I went and married someone else, I cannot go back to her. I cannot, under Deuteronomy 24, I can't go back to her after I've done that. Under the new law, if I put her away for some other cause, then that's the only thing I can do. So Matthew 19, 9 and 5, 32 don't go back to Deuteronomy, the old law. It don't fit because he teaches that. In other words, they cannot do that. And so he said it is. Now here's something. Now follow me real closely. Follow these things because it's very important. Fornication under the law, they were stoned. I'm going to give you the scripture for it. It's right there if you're in Deuteronomy in the 22nd chapter. In the 22nd chapter, let's begin with verse 13. And let's notice now what the scripture says there. 22nd chapter and beginning with verse 13. Let me find it here a minute. Okay, Deuteronomy 22. Beginning with verse 13. If any man take a wife and go into her and hate her and give occasion of speech against her, bring up an evil name upon her and say, I took this woman and when I came to her, I found her not a maid. Now here's a case where this man comes. He said, I've taken this woman. She was supposed to be a maid, but she wasn't. I found out she wasn't. Now read on. Then shall the father of the damsel and her mother take and bring forth the tokens of the damsel's virginity unto the elders of the city of the gate. Now the father and mother, they would bring the proof, so to speak. And the damsel's father shall say unto the elders, I gave my daughter unto this man to wife, and he hateth her. And lo, he hath given occasion of speech against her, saying, I found not thy daughter a maid, and yet these the token of my daughter's virginity. And they shall spread the cloth before the elders of the city, and the elders of that city shall take that man and chastise him, and they shall immerse him in 100 shekels of silver, and give them the father of the damsel, because he hath brought up an evil name upon a virgin of Israel, and she shall be his wife. He may not put her away all his days. Because it wasn't true. So he can't put her away. But notice, but if this thing be true, and the tokens of virginity be not found in the damsel, then they shall bring out the damsel to the door of her father's house, and the men of her city shall stone her with stones that she die, because she wrought folly in Israel, play the whore in her father's house, so shalt thou put evil away from among you. So if that's brought up, it's got to be proved. And when it's proven true, she's stoned. False, they've got to stay married. So if he married this woman and he said, well, I don't like her, I hate her, and that's why, like do today, brought up, well, she wasn't pure, she's done this, that, and other. They checked, and when they found it out, then he was stoned. Yes? Now, that's before marriage. That was committed before marriage. Either committed or not committed. And that was the law. Now, let's notice in verse 22. He said then in verse, but this thing be true, in verse 20, talk of virginity, be not found for the damsel, then of course they would be stoned. Then in verse 22, if a man be found lying with a woman married to an husband, then they shall both of them die, both the man that lay with the woman and the woman, so that shall thou put away evil from Israel. Now notice, guilty before marriage, proved, stoned. Guilty after marriage, stoned. Under fornication, they committed fornication under the law, they were stoned to death. And that was God's law. Now this pointed out again in Leviticus, the 20th chapter and verse 10, latter part, and I'll read that right quick here to notice what it said concerning this in the book of Leviticus. That's the 20th chapter and verse 10, if I can find it here just a minute. Here we are. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. So we've got a difference, haven't we, in these two. So Matthew 19 and 9 and 5:32 cannot fit Deuteronomy 24. They just won't work because they're two different ones. Now, let's notice a little more about this now. I want to take you, I will bring this up, I won't read it. Then another law of jealousy, and that's found in Numbers, the 5th chapter, and verses 11 through 31, and I won't take time to read it. But here's what it was. If a man was jealous here of his wife, accused her of things, and so forth, they could give her these different things, and let her go into her stomach and so forth. And if she was guilty, it would kill her. If she wasn't, it wouldn't. But that was a law of jealousy there, and I'll not take time here to do it. And so, but there was that law. Now notice what these scribes and Pharisees said when they come to Jesus in John, the 8th chapter. And let's notice verses 3 and 5. John, the 8th chapter, and verses 3 and 5. And the scribe Pharisees brought in him a woman taken in adultery. And when they set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? They quoted the law to Jesus. And they quoted it correctly. They quoted it correctly. But Jesus, knowing them and knowing what they were doing, he stooped and wrote on the ground and so forth and said, ye that are without sin, cast the first stone. Now, Jesus was not upholding her. But what he did tell her to do, you go and you sin no more. You go and you sin no more. So they understood that under that law that they were a stone to death. And, of course, if they were stoned, certainly they could not marry. Now let's go back to Matthew 5 and 33 and 34. And I want you to follow me close here now. because we're going to bring out something here that's overlooked too many times. Verse 31, 32, Matthew 5. Follow me closely. It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a divorce. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced commits adultery. Wait a minute. How does he cause her to commit adultery? How does he cause her to commit adultery? Look at that. Whosoever put away his wife, saving cause of fornication, cause her to commit adultery. You mean if I divorce Frances, I cause her to commit adultery? Yes, sir, in the sense he's saying here. Now, follow me real closely. You remember we studied a while ago that woman's brought to Adam? This is bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. We're one. She's part of me. And when a man marries a woman today, they're just that one. Just that one. Now, here's what Paul said. And let's notice this real closely. Hold that place and let me read to you from 1 Corinthians 7 that you'll know that I'm using Scripture, explaining them, and so forth. Here's what Paul says now. 1 Corinthians 7, now concerning things where I've wrote to you, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. I want you to know, friend, young people, everybody, when you marry, your partner is yours, part of your body. When I married Frances, that was it. My body was no longer mine. I didn't have power over my body. She didn't have power over her body. We were for each other. Yes, sir. And I want you to know that, and here's what it is. When I deprive her of that which God has ordained and made sacred, when I deprive her of that, and through her body, and vice versa, put me on the other side, and we cannot control ourselves, we are the cause of that person doing it because we didn't provide for them what God did. I want you to get that. And that's very important. I want you to know this old idea of going around and treating them any way you want to and all that and depriving them of everything and so forth, and that's caused many a divorce, and that's caused a lot of homes broken up. And I want you to know the guilty party that committed the fornication is absolutely guilty, but the other person that didn't provide for them what they had coming and what God provided for them, they've sinned in that. Yes, sir. And that's overlooked so many times. You know, so many times, one that other than finally, they play the old waiting game. We'll talk about that in a minute and see which one will marry first. And then the other one holler, oh, they married. I got the cause. I can remarry. I don't believe a word of it. We'll talk about it five times, just a few minutes. But I want you to know something, folks. And I want you to know something. And we that are married, I want us all to know it. We owe things to each other. And we owe everything to each other. And I'll tell you what, we ought to go to the last, just down to the nick of time to try to work things out where that we can have those bodies for each other and we can live together. And young married couple, I'm proud of you in the church. You're doing well, and a lot of you are doing a lot better and everything, but I want to encourage you, and I want to strengthen you that you will do that, and you try to work those things out. Older people and so forth, I think it's very important. Don't we see it abused in the world today? Don't we see all those things? Well, that's what he says now that they are. So we find now that the body there is. Now I want to point out something else here before we go on. Here's a sinner. He comes, he joins himself to Christ. He becomes Christ. Or let's put it this way. Here's a man And he's married to a Christian woman. And he comes along and he goes and joins himself to another. You know what he can't do? She can't stay joined him. Okay, here's Christ. I join myself to Christ. When I join myself to this sinner here, I'm joining Christ, join that self to that sinner. Christ don't stay with me, does he? He don't stay with me in that sin, does he? When I, Christians to Christian, join self there? Why, certainly not. Husband, wife, one of them join himself to another, God stay with them? You better not even think about believing that. He don't stay with them. No, sir. Why? Because they're there. So, he points that fact out. Now, let's go to Matthew 19:9 and talk about that for a few moments. Matthew 19, and let's notice what it says now. In verse 3, the Pharisees also came to him, tempting him, saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away a wife for every cause? And I said to them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore, they're no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Now, I want you to notice that Jesus does not deny anywhere in these scriptures here that that wasn't true, that Moses did allow him to put away the wife for every cause. He does not deny that. And he says what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Now, there's a difference in what God might say a man can do and what man says a man can do. There's a difference. What God says he can do and what man says he can do. He says, let not man put asunder. And I don't believe that man on his own can. I don't believe he can. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing divorce and put her away? So they ask him a question. Well, why did Moses command that? If that was true from the beginning. He saith unto them, Moses, because hardens your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But the beginning was not so. Now, let me follow me closely. A lot of brethren argue and say, oh, well, said Moses just done that because of the hardness of heart. Listen to me. Regardless of why he done it, it was still all right. If he done it, it was all right. Whether it's hardness of heart or not, it was all right. Now, it was done. In fact, the law was added because of transgressions. Well, even though it was added for that reason, it's still the law. And so that makes no difference, because what the reason was makes no difference. But then he said, beginning it was not so. And I want you to know that's right. When God created man and created woman, that was so. Did you ever stop and think about it? When God created man and woman, it wasn't his will that man would ever die. It was not his will that man would ever sin. Put him in a garden, perfect, had everything. But when he sinned, out, when he sinned. See? And so God, through his mercy, God, through his grace, he began to do that and began to make preparation and salvation of man. And I want you to know, folks, he's really showed mercy on us, hasn't he? Now, follow me real closely. You remember Jacob, who was later Israel, and the children of Israel? There was 12 sons born there, 10, 12. 12 sons born there. You follow me? Those 12 sons were born of 4 different women. Rachel, Joseph, and Benjamin, Bilhah, Dan, Naphtali, Leah, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Zilpah, Gad, Asher. Born of born to four different women. Rachel could not. God later permitted it. Leah, Jacob had worked for Rachel 7 years. Older had to be given away first. Leah was given. She was his wife. After 7 more years, he got Rachel. Then worked 6 more years, 20 years. Well, I'm not going to dispute with God. Now, here's what I know, though. We come down with the new law. And even under this new law, he's made it now where there's one exception, and that is fornication. One exception. There's not all kinds of exception. Oh, yeah, I know you can go down here to court. You can get it on incompatibility. You can get it on nearly anything you want to. But that's man. Let not man put asunder. That's man putting it asunder, folks. Understand that some states have talked about it where that fornication will be the only cause where they give one. But I want to tell you something. God gave this, and God gave it. Now let me talk a little bit about that. Now, let's say that two young people meet. They decide to get married, and they marry. They go along, and after a while, they find no delight in one another, hate one another. So they file for divorce, and they go along. This one over here. Well, they go along, and finally one of them can't contain. Satan gets too much of them. They get carried away. And they finally say, I can't live this way. I'm going to get married. They say over here, well, there, now, she's committed fornication, now I can marry. I don't buy a word of that. I don't buy one word of that. Whosoever shall put away his wife except it be fornication, and they did not put them away for fornication. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Not he that is baptized and after believes, he'll be all right. He that believeth. And he that put away his wife, except it be fornication, marry another, committeth adultery. That's got to be the reason. And too many times, folks, that's happened in the church. I've seen it happen. Oh, he remarried, now I've got a right to. They commit adultery, and if you remarry, you commit adultery. Yes, sir. Now, let me emphasize this very strongly. Young people, listen to me real close. Know the person you're going to marry. You'd be surprised, folks, that people have told me, and I've preached for 50 years longer, going on 52 years. The people over the years told me I thought I knew that person. Said, I should have known some things before I married him. Well, things I told all along. This lady was married. Her husband died. This man, his wife died. Both in the church, been in the church a long time. They married. They're still together. But she told me just a couple of 3 years ago, said, I just didn't know him when I married him. Said, we just didn't know each other. And they have problems. They're scripturally married. But they have their problem. Young folks, be careful. Just because they go to church, and just because they put on a big front and everything, you be real careful. I'll tell you one way you can judge. Just kind of feel them out. Just feel like what they like to do. Just put the little, you know, just a little casual test to them. Well, let's go to church. Let's go down to the meeting down at Norman. Oh, no, why don't we go over here? So-and-so is happening. Why don't we go over here? Take a little notice. Take a little notice. When it comes to different things like that, take a little notice. See if they've got the same thoughts you have, the same ideas you've got. And I'll tell you what. I don't know, but I suppose one of the most miserable things there is a torn up marriage where they just continue to live each other. There's a man and a woman. They were in the church. They had children. He finally blamed her for the children not being in the church. And I understand that telephone would ring. One or the other, and they wouldn't tell him. They'd just write a note and leave a note. Never spoke, never talked. Just wrote notes. Lived that way for a good long while. Claimed to be a Christian. Not a 32nd cousin. Now, what did... Sit down and work those things out. Sit down and work those things out. Now, parents, listen to me. Listen to me. You teach and train your children. You talk to them. Don't blame everybody else. Don't blame somebody else when they don't do something. Just blame yourself. I want to tell you something. Don't you follow me real closely? When they are grown and they're on their own, and they go out and they join themselves to the world, they leave the church and so forth, don't blame nobody. Don't blame the church. Don't blame the brethren. They're supposed to be strong enough when those persecutions come, they can take them. My mother, bless her heart, she'll soon be dead 47 years. Died when I was 32 years old. She taught me some dear lessons. And I want to tell you something, sisters. I'm for you. You're a big influence. One time my mother, we used to write due to the Depression, we had a cow. Little store up there, didn't have your supermarkets much like you do today, had quart bottles of milk. And my dad would milk the cow and take it up there and sell it to the grossman, and he would sell it. My mother filled up a quart jar. Back then they didn't have carts or nothing like that. Like just about that much, have enough milk to fill it. My sister-in-law, she never was in the church. She died out of the church. My brother wasn't going to church then. He saw Miss Morris, said, I just put a little water in that so nobody never know it. Oh, no, said, I can't do that. That's not right. What's wrong with that? That's not right. That's just cheating. I've never forgot that. I went to church one Sunday. I was really smart. I was 17 years old. Man, I was smart. We were back home. The fella gave a talk, stepped on my toes. And I told Mama, I said, Mama, I'm not going back. Nice, sweet voice, Edwin. I hate to hear you say that, but I want to tell you one thing. You're hurting yourself more than you're hurting anybody. And here, 62 years later, I still remember that. Dead 47 years, but brother, I still remember that. I want to tell you that was the best tonic, best dose of medicine she ever gave me in her life. She didn't say, oh, yeah, old brother so-and-so shouldn't have done this. He shouldn't have done blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah. No, she didn't do that. She let me know that was my responsibility. Folks, live for the Lord. Love it. I'm through. Here this morning. Eternity is fast approaching, but that end of your life. We're all a week older than was a week ago today. We're all advancing, same rate of speed. People tell me I'm getting older, right. You are too. We're going along, same rate of speed. You people that's up 20 and so, when you was born, I was 20 years older than you are, and I'm still 20 years older than you are. You see how we're all getting older? We have no guarantee of life. Do you know there's an eternity ahead? You know it never ends? If you're here this morning, you're not prepared to meet God. Why don't you do it? Hear the word. Believe the word. Repent of your wrongs. confess Christ. I believe Jesus Christ, Son of God. That's the sweetest word you'll ever utter. Then be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, forgiveness of sins. Then arise to walk in newness of life. If you obeyed that, haven't lived as you should, why don't you simply confess those faults and then live for the Lord? Opportunity is yours. Always stand.